Nina Spencer is on the line with us. She's one of Canada's foremost keynote motivational speakers. She's an author and broadcaster. And keynote speaking is what she does. Putting together speeches is what she does, motivating people. And so we really thought it would be interesting to have her perspective. And that's what we've been talking about with Melania Trump. And she saw some very positive things about that. But this is...
Well, we agree. Plagiarism is a no-no.
Plagiarism is a no-no. But the Trump campaign has basically said it's not that big a deal.
No.
And we're asking people what you think. Does plagiarism really matter? We see it all the time now. And Nina, you had said that we live in a cut and paste world. And I think that's really what the problem is, isn't it? You don't have to go back to sort of original thoughts anymore, or if there is such a thing as an original thought. I'm sure somewhere along the line you've listened to different things.
Everything's been said before?
Maybe. They say this about music. You know, when they were, Stairway to Heaven was a song that some said had been plagiarized. And yet, when
it
actually went to court, they said it hadn't been.
But it is how you say it.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. It's how you say it. And quite frankly, I think that, dare I use the word, get away with it. She could have gotten away with it if she'd only did a bit of attribution. She didn't even need to mention Michelle Obama by name, but that would have had the most integrity, and of course she wouldn't because of Democrats, but if she'd said something like this just in front of the other part of what she wanted to say, if she'd said, like, those who have stood before me, who have stood in this position before me and shared from the heart, comma, my parents gave me these values, or if anything you want to achieve, she could have then pretty much said verbatim, as long as she'd said, like those who have shared from their hearts before me, who have stood in this position years before, at least you would be acknowledging that other people have said this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not taking ownership of it. You're crediting somebody else.
Precisely, even if you're doing it in a bit of an anonymous way to play down their value, at least she would have still been saying, it's not just my thought. But then, because of the strength of your voice and the conviction of your words in the words that follow after the comma, people won't even remember that first part. They'll just remember that you said this. And then, of course, they might still have zeroed in on it, but at least she would have been able to defend herself and said, well, I did say it.
Yeah.
Like those who said before me.
But this angered so many people out there, because here you have a man who's running for the position of leader of the free world going, plagiarism? No big deal. Come on, move on. What's your problem? Nothing to see. Move along.
Yeah, there ends up being this kind of feeling of you have nothing new to add to the conversation. You have nothing new to add to the dialogue. You're just recycling thoughts. This is not a good sign.
No, but it's not.
Is there any original thought left?
Well, that was the question, wasn't it? Is there any original thought left? And to say that, you know, your parents bring you up to work hard and to treat people nicely, well, that's not original. That's like lots of people say that. And they did point to, that's what they tried to do afterwards. They tried to point to, well, it's not inspired thinking. It's just really good common sense values.
And common sense messages from the platform always stand the test of time, if you will, and you can drive them home repeatedly. In this particular case, though, I think the speech would have been more powerful, would have been more poignant, would have been more memorable if she'd folded in some personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
They would have let her speak for as long as she wanted, so within reason, I suppose. But I'm sure if she wanted to tell three anecdotal stories, one about her childhood, one about coming to Canada, to America, one about how she met Donald or how he's been with her in private life, people love that. Don't we all love a true story in a movie?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that would have been a way she could have sat down and thought of five key points that were personal, that had a beginning and a middle and an end, and a personal story to illustrate each one of those points.
Right, and Ronald Reagan did that so well. Ronald Reagan was the master of incorporating personal stories and meeting Joe on the street in Cleveland or whatever. You know, he did that really well. What did you think of Ivanka Trump's speech?
I loved it. I thought, no, this is the woman who should be running for president. Just in terms of her oratory skills, right?
Wonderful.
We've had 8 years, I say we as the world, have had 8 years of listening to one of the most supreme orators, Obama. I can't wait to sit at his feet, metaphorically, and hear him speak somewhere live. And what a huge honor it would ever be for me to be on the same program with such a man. After 8 years of this kind of competency at delivering a speech, I think that America and even the world will be looking for more of the same, but they're not going to get that out of Trump. But they would get that out of Ivanka, very poised, very articulate. She held that audience in her hands. People tease about, nice to look at and easy on the eyes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're a beauty or not, but it is a total package when you're a speaker. Good words, good message, put yourself together nicely as best you can, and it's a total package. She
yeah, absolutely.
Great.
What did you think of his speech? That about says it right there.
She is lost for words. Here is a keynote speaker lost for words. First time ever.
Oh, dear. What do we say about Trump that hasn't been said already? It's, what did Betty Davis say in that movie from All About Eve so many years ago? Fasten your seatbelts, right? It's going to be a bumpy ride, right? It's going to
but
be a
the
long
thing
night.
Is, he appeals to so many people. And he hits on things. Like when he says, I will fight for you, I thought that was one of those personal things. And he was looking at the camera or maybe his teleprompter, whatever. But he was saying to people that, you know, politicians haven't been fighting for you. I will fight for you. And he sounded believable. And maybe that was because Ivanka Trump had already prefaced all of that and made him maybe a little more human along the way and brought in certain values that you might not think.
Carol, his speech was terrible.
Think with associating with Donald Trump, but she had already prefaced some of those things. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think that you've driven home a really important point here. When you're a speechwriter I'm designing a keynote speech or when I'm actually on the platform, always best to use the you word, the Y-O-U word, because it makes the person receiving the message feel that you are speaking just to them. My understanding is people in radio know that as well, that you're always speaking to one, you're not speaking to the many, right? So it's clever wording for him to say, I will fight for you, or my dad will fight for you, my husband will fight for you.
He had the U word in there, but he also had a lot of the I word. I will fight for you. I have all the answers. I will change things immediately. I am your law and order candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's where I become concerned. And every time he takes another step closer to it, I'm thinking this could happen. Oh my god!
So are some people? Some are saying this could happen, and they're thrilled. And some are going, this could happen, and it's oh my god.
Right? Well, I'm probably going to ruin it. The word Schadenfreude, is that the word? Do you know this word? It's a German word that means. When
yes.
you stand afar and gloat at somebody else's misfortune, I think that all we'll be left to do is to stand afar and just be boggled if it comes to pass. Maybe he should start working with speechwriters. Apparently, he's very proud and boasts that he doesn't use a teleprompter, that he's always off the cuff.
You can't tell.
Except he did use a teleprompter at
this speech. Yeah, I know,
and
he's terrible.
Speech. But maybe you have to get used to that.
You know, I've said this before, there's a side of me, I guess a dark side, that wants to see him win because I'm so curious how fast we'd go to hell on a handcart once this guy takes office.
And Paul, that's exactly what I'm thinking here. There's a part of me that wants to, you know, it'll give comedians fabulous fodder for at least 4 years.
Yes.
I happened, while I was looking at the speeches, I happened to let the reel run. And it went into Stephen Colbert and The Late Show. And I was rip snorting out loud. I was laughing out loud. It was so funny. They had an Ivanka lookalike do the speech and actually say certain words from the actual speech. And then she said, West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground was where I spent most of my days. Oh, dear. And anybody who knows French, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, knows that that was the song from the show from the 1970s or the 80s and or the 90s, whenever it was from.
And well, lots of great stuff here. Nina, we have to run, but I thank you very much for spending this time with us and analyzing this speech and kind of giving us a little insight into where you go when you're a keynote and what you really should stay away from. Good chatting with you.
Stick to your own heart, right? Stick to your own stories.
I hear you.
Thanks, Nina.
Thanks, Nina. Bye-bye. And that's Nina Spencer, who is one of Canada's foremost keynote speech writers. So there you go. It's just a lot to be said about all of that. But it's words that really motivate us, isn't it? And it's words that for some, they look at that, they say, he is amazing. And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There,